and to your mind today. So we're going to open our Bibles back up to the book of Mark here in just a moment, if you will. And we're going to Mark. I want to bring a thought to you this morning, as you heard Brother Kelton read already in Mark chapter 7. I want to bring a thought to you titled, A Mother's Love. A Mother's Love. So we'll be in Mark in chapter 7 is where we'll be. No need to stand this morning as we've already stood for the reading of the Word of God today. Mark chapter 7 and verses 24 through 30. The Bible says, and from thence he arose and went into the borders of Tyre and Sidon and entered into a house and would have no man know it. But he could not be hid, for a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. The woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation, and she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. And Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it unto dogs. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. And he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way, the devil is gone out of thy daughter. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out and her daughter laid upon the bed. Father in heaven, we pray that you bless this message today, bless this time together. And Lord, we would render it to you and to your hands this morning, that our hearts, our minds, our souls will be touched today by the preaching of your word and your word alone. So Father, I pray now that you would help your people this morning. Help me, dear God, deliver the message that will be best, Lord, suited for the people that we have before us and those who may catch later on. Of this great need, but this great honor of a mother's love. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen. Amen. So we find in Mark chapter 7, as the Lord travels, he is now as far north as he can go without entering into Gentile territory. And that's important to note and understand, because in Matthew chapter 10, verses 5 through 6, the Bible says that these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans, enter ye not, but rather go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. So the Lord doesn't go into Tyre or into Sidon proper, as this would be in the way of the Gentiles, but he rather goes to the border. He is as far north as he can go. And this is where he encounters this Gentile woman. This is a marvelous story. It's one of the greatest events that I enjoy reading about. I have referenced it multiple times. I'm pretty sure I've preached on it many times. I couldn't find any notes on it, but I know that I have over the last 27 some odd years. But listen, you know, the events that happen here, it to me is remarkable. I mean, her tenacity, if you will. I mean, you know, this is a mother's love. It's a beautiful picture. But I also think there's some things that we need to take away before we get into a mother's love. And interesting to note that the Lord never deviates from his plan. See, we live in a world today that has a acceptable, if you will, acceptable reasoning to change or deviate from what the plan was in anything. Someone will sign a contract and they'll say, yeah, but you know, maybe there's a little wiggle room. Yeah, but you signed that contract. You need to be a man or woman of your word and stick. No, but maybe there's some wiggle room here. You know, you agreed to work for, you know, X amount of pounds per hour. Oh, but wait a second, I've changed my mind. I want more. Wait, you agreed over here, but now you want more. You follow what I'm saying here today. That's the kind of world we live in today. The Lord Jesus Christ doesn't do this. He sticks to his doctrinal path and plan. This plan and his plan was to reach the lost tribe of Israel, the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. And that very same plan remains intact. The same covenant from Genesis chapter 12, signed and sealed and delivered. And we need to understand that, guys. We need to understand that the doctrinal teaching that the Lord Jesus Christ has never replaced Israel, has never cast them off, he's never divorced them. Any organization that teaches different than that right there is a doctrine of the devil. You understand? I don't care what good work they're doing around the world. I don't care how great their singing it would be. It doesn't matter how entertaining they are. Any organization that will teach you that Israel has been divorced of God or that the church has replaced them is a damnable heresy and a doctrine of the devil. And you need to understand that. I would say you need to read a church covenant and see what is behind them. How do we know that the Lord does not deviate? Well, he has some pretty harsh words for this woman, first and foremost. We'll see that here in just a moment. But we also understand the reason for the chosen nation of Israel never changed either. Read from the screen Isaiah chapter 49 in verse 6. And the Bible says, and he said, it is a light thing that thou shouldest be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob and to restore the preserve of Israel. I will also give thee for a light to the Gentiles, that thou mayest be my salvation unto the end of the earth. You see, the Lord's plan was for the whole world to be saved. Well, let's understand that here today. The nation of Israel was chosen as God's nation, and that they may be a light unto the rest of the world, okay? Did they fail? Yes, they did fail. But we've seen in dispensational teaching, every dispensation, man has failed. There was a test, and then there was a failure. So notice the response that the Lord gives this Gentile woman who's seeking only for her daughter to be delivered, her daughter to be healed. The Lord doesn't deviate from that plan that he's come to save, seeking to save the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel. In verse 27, this is what it is. He says, let the children first be filled. For it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to dogs. Again, he does not deviate from the plan. He doesn't deviate from the covenant. He doesn't change his word back here to fit a certain situation right here. Does that make sense today? God doesn't change. His word doesn't change. I was thinking about this late last night. God has never changed his word, okay? Man tries to change his word, and when man tries to change his word, the curses of the word of God fall upon that man, fall upon that nation, fall upon that organization, fall upon even that church. So the first thing that I want you to notice here with me this morning, still pointing as point number one, but it is by way of introduction, notice to me Jesus Christ could not be hid. I love this part of verse 24. He comes in, he tries to hide himself, he comes into this house, and he wants no one to know that he was there. And yet the Bible says, but he could not be hid. What a wonderful statement that is. Let that sink in for just a second this morning. He could not be hid. Beloved, you cannot hide someone like Jesus Christ. He's too powerful. He's too big. Man, how are you going to hide somebody big as Jesus Christ? How are you going to hide somebody who can pull the dead out of the graveyards, guys? How are you going to hide someone and cover someone up who can feed 5,000 with practically nothing? How are you going to hide that? How are you going to hide the one who was able to take a 12-year disease in a woman just by her touching his garment and be made clean? You cannot hide someone like that. You will not. But the Lord, every time Jesus told someone, don't say anything about XYZ, don't sound it abroad, news spread throughout the cities, throughout the villages, throughout the countryside like wildfire. Every time. Jesus Christ always had crowds around him for which he never sought. He never went after the crowds. He never went after popularity. Yet it found him every single time. He never went after to be worshipped, and yet he was. Beloved, our society today is caught up with a movement, okay? And it's led by idolatry. At the very simplest truth this morning, our society is led by idolatry. I want you to think about it for a second. People desire what in this world today? They desire followers. Social media has filled our hearts and our minds with the more followers you get, the more popular you are, the better you are. Been detrimental to the psychological mindset of our young people today. This desire, guys, reveals something that's greatly missing in the lives and hearts of people. People are looking to be loved. People are looking for adoration. They're looking for fulfillment. And yet, social media in our world today, it is nothing more than paper pleasures. Here today, gone tomorrow. Notice what the Word of God said. The Bible tells us, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Paul goes on to say, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. In 1 Thessalonians 1, he says, and ye became followers of us and of the Lord, having received the word in much affliction with joy of the Holy Ghost. And he says the second time in 2 Thessalonians 2:14, whereunto he called you by our gospel to obtain to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So we'll talk about followers. Guys, there's many other verses that reveal that we are to be followers of the Lord, but our world is broken today. Our obsessions are skewed. Our focus is marred by a desire to be followed, worshiped, if you will, almost. Assuming that following equates to love, and it does not. But this mother, this, now here's this Savior, here's the Messiah, here's the Lord Jesus Christ, who desired not to have followers, who desired not to be worshipped, who sought none of those things, who's the only one that has the right to do so, by the way, but sought none of these things, could not be hid. But this mother here, however, unlike our society today, her focus was pure. Her desire was honorable. Her obsession, straight on. She knew what she needed. In verse 25, this is what we read. For a certain woman whose young daughter had an unclean spirit heard of him and came and fell at his feet. Guys, this was nothing new to the Lord. This is was not unusual for a woman to come to Jesus. People were always coming to him. But this certain woman was a Gentile. Now today we know that there are only three types of people on earth. We understand that. Galatians 3:28 tells us that there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. Who are the three on this earth today? Whether there's neither Jew nor Greek, circumcision nor uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond nor free, but Christ is all in all. So once you are saved, you are all saved and born again. The only separation that we have today are the lost Jews, lost Gentiles, and then you have the saved on this earth, which is the church of God. So there is neither bond nor free, but we are all one in Jesus Christ. We know that today. This woman, this Gentile, she came to Jesus. She came and fell at his feet, again, which was nothing unusual, was nothing new. People did it all the time. So now I want us to look at a Lord who could not be hid. I want us to look at a woman's heritage. Verses 26 and 27 of our text today. The Bible says the woman was a Greek, a Syrophoenician by nation. And she besought him that he would cast forth the devil out of her daughter. But Jesus said unto her, let the children first be filled, for it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it unto dogs. A Syrophoenician by nation. She was from the Phoenician part of Syria. When Alexander the Great conquered that part of the Middle East, he put it all into the province of Syria. That included Lebanon, which is Phoenicia, and Israel. Put it all together. Now, ethnically, this woman was a Canaanite. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22 says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David, my daughter is grievously vexed. Because the Sidonians came from Ham's son Canaan, who was cursed. We see that in Genesis 10, 15. And Canaan begat Sidon, his firstborn in Heth. So hereditarily, this woman had everything going against her. And even though this woman was a Gentile, she was an idolater, she was converting, if you will, to get help for her daughter. Verse 25, the Bible says that she fell at his feet. This is an act of worship. Matthew 15 tells us in verse 25, then came she and worshiped him, saying, Lord, help me. Think about this for just a second, if you will. Think about it. In verse 28 of our text in Mark, she calls Jesus Lord. I want you just to take a few moments and let it sink in. An idolatrous woman of the seed of Canaan, who was a cursed son of Ham, from a Greek nation, you know, a Gentile nation, who again were nothing more than idolaters, her heritage was 100% against her. Everything that she had in her body, her blood, everything she had in her past, everything she had in her pedigree, coming to Jesus Christ, a Jew whose doctrinal path was to seek and to save the lost sheep of the tribe of Israel, all of it was against her. And yet she believed by faith what the Pharisees and the Sadducees, who were Jews, did not. That Jesus Christ was God Almighty in the flesh. This is a mother's love. I mean, this is a mother. I've searched the scripture all over, and I have seen all types of examples of parents and brokenhearted mothers and this and that. I've yet to find a greater example of a mother's love than this Syrophoenician woman who came pleading and begging on her knees, worshiping our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, saying, I just want some help for my daughter. Not a greater example do I find. Her heritage was against her. Jesus Christ's desire was to be hid, yet you could not hide something so great. So lastly, I want you to see a mother's heart. I want you to see a mother's heart. Look at verse 28 again. And she answered and said unto him, yes, Lord, yet the dogs under the table eat of the children's crumbs. You see, Mark and Matthew have, there's two different perspectives here. Same event, same story, just looked at and viewed from a different lens. One's more detailed, and we'll look at that here in a second. He says, but Mark, John Mark writes, children's crumbs. The Lord already said, let children be filled first. Let them have a meal. And she doesn't even bat an eye. She doesn't even bat an eye. She goes, yay, Lord. But the dogs, we can make a meal from those children's crumbs. You see, Mark gives us an abbreviated account of Christ's encounter with this woman. Abbreviated one. Doesn't mean it's any less than, just a shorter one. High points, if you will. The fuller account is found in Matthew chapter 15. And we're going to look at a few verses. And it's just for your notes, it's 21 through 28 in Matthew 15. It's there that we learn the reason Jesus could not be hid in the house. It's because when this woman found out that he was there, she just didn't come in and ask politely. She didn't come in and say, hey, is Jesus in? She didn't do that, man. Read from the screen. Matthew chapter 15, verse 22. The Bible says, and behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coast and cried unto him, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed. Man, she didn't come in and it wasn't a whisper. It wasn't pass a note to the Lord over there. She cried with a loud voice. Like old blind Bartimaeus that you find over there in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 48. Bartimaeus got louder and louder and louder and louder until he got the master's attention. I love that story. He just got louder and louder and louder until the Lord said, okay, fine, let me go over and talk to this guy. When Jesus ignored the woman, she went after his disciples. Matthew 15, verse 23 tells us, but he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. When the Lord ignored her the first time, she goes over there and she gets his partners, if you will. In other words, she was relentless in making the disciples listen to her and getting everyone's attention. Not only did Jesus treat her rudely by ignoring her, when he finally answers her in verse 27 of our text, he says, well, for it's not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. So, you know, stay with me on this here just for a moment as we begin to unpack this woman's heart, this mother's heart, which is rooted in a mother's love. She's ignored. She cries with a loud voice, exposing Jesus' presence. He still ignores her. She goes after the disciples. She's wearing them down so much that the disciples come to the Lord and say, would you please send her away? When he finally speaks to her, guys, he calls her a dog. I mean, going back to our introduction, the children are, of course, the Jews. They are the children of the kingdom in whom the covenant and promises of the Old Testament was made. Romans 9:4 says, who are Israelites to whom pertaineth the adoption and the glory and the covenants and the giving of the law and the service of God and the promises? This woman knew this. She knew that Old Testament prophecy. She knew that Old Testament promises. She knew that covenant was given to the nation of Israel. She knew they were the chosen people of God. Even though she was an idolater, she was privy to this information. The problem is that many of those children of the kingdom rejected their king. Matthew 8:12 says, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast into the outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. You see, there's a load of the children of the kingdom who reject the king. There's a load of Gentiles who realize who the king is. They realize he is the Savior, and they'll wind up in heaven as the sons of God. That's John 1:12. But these dogs, it's an obvious, you know, reference to the lost Gentiles in this world today. Psalm 22 tells us, for dogs have compassed me, and it's the assembly of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hands and my feet. That's a prophecy. That's a messianic prophecy of the Lord Jesus Christ's crucifixion. The dogs have surrounded him, the Gentiles. Philippians 3:2 says, beware of dogs, beware of evil workers, beware of the concision. Guys, with all this said, this woman who was insulted, this woman who was rejected, is about to do something again that the Pharisees and the Sadducees could never do. And listen carefully to this. We're almost finished. She catches Jesus Christ in his words. I never looked at it like this. Again, used this illustration and preached around this and for years upon years upon years. But when you begin to break this down, you begin to look at what happens in these events, she catches Jesus Christ in his own words. The wisest people on the planet at that time could not do that. The experts on the law never were able to catch Jesus. He was too smart. He was too slick. He was too crafty. Hey, listen. Hey, you know, he would always answer back with another question, and they were dumbfounded, and they would just walk off upset. But not this woman. Not this woman, not her heart, man. Not rooted in her love for that daughter. You go through Mark chapter 12 and your own time. You go through Mark chapter 12 and you watch those Sadducees and those Pharisees try to catch Jesus Christ, and he just makes him look like blooming idiots is all he does. But she does it. You know how she does it, guys? Do you know how she does this? You know how she catches Jesus in his own words? By agreeing with him. Agreeing with him. You know, we hear so much about repentance being necessary for salvation today. We do hear that quite a bit. And yet we forget what the word repentance means. What does repentance mean? You know, the word repent is actually has a military root to it. It's an about face. When soldiers are told to about face, what do? They turn on their heels. They do a 180. Boom, there they are. Right? The definition of the word repent or repentance is the change of heart and mind about something. That's all it is. It has nothing to do with stopping sinning. God never stopped sinning a day in his life. He didn't need to. He's perfect. He cannot sin. But the Bible tells us that he certainly did repent. Genesis 6:6, Exodus 32:14, Judges 2:18, 1 Samuel 15:35, and many other verses. What does it mean? It means he had a change of heart and mind about something that he had done or something he intended to do. Guys, you can quit all kinds of sin in your life, and you can still wind up in hell. You can stop sinning all day long. You can quit all of that stuff, and it's not going to save you. You need a change of heart and mind about your lost condition and agree with God that you need to be saved. This mother, do you know what she did this day? This is what's so beautiful about it. She bowed and conquered. You ever heard that before? When's the last time you heard that a conqueror bowed? The conqueror wins. He's the victor, right? Those that are bowing usually is the opposite, but not here today. She bowed and conquered. The old English playwright, Oliver Goldsmith, wrote this. He said this about this woman. He said that she doesn't raise her hackles, if you will, over what Christ said. She wants her daughter delivered, and she is willing to take any insult as long as her daughter is delivered from this devil. She didn't care. She says, all right, I'm a dog. She says, all right, I'm dirty, unclean, Gentile dog. That's fine. And this woman takes her place under the Lord's table, waiting for the crumbs the children of the kingdom allow to fall to the floor. I'll tell you something that she did. And this is where the whole root lies in today. This is where you see this mother's love. She obligated the Lord to take care of her, doesn't she? Read what she says. This is Matthew 15:27. Just read from up top. And she said, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. You see, Mark says that, you know, it's the children's crumbs, and that's what it is. But whose table are they sat? Master's. You see, here's what happened. This heathen woman, this idolater, this woman who was a descendant of Canaan, the cursed son of Ham, this woman who had everything under the plan, everything in her life going against her to find salvation in this Jewish Messiah, says, you're right, Lord, I'm a dog, but I'm your dog. And if I'm your dog, you're obligated to take care of me. Beloved, that's how you catch the Lord in his words. And that's what she did. And she's the only one in all of Scripture, in all of the 89 chapters of the gospel, to ever be able to catch Jesus in his own words. Jesus can't argue with that. Jesus couldn't argue with that. He agreed with it. Hey, listen, you got to agree that he is your Savior, and that in order to have eternal life, you got to agree to come to him and agree with him. And when the truth says that we're nothing but filthy sinners, and we're deserving of hell, the only reply that will ever work, I sure am, Lord. But you said if I trusted your Son, that you would forgive me of my sins, and you'd clean me up, and I'd be going to heaven, and I'm going to believe in what you said. Now I'm yours. So you hold up your end of the bargain. This is a mother's love today. This is a mother's love who was relentless, who would just stop at nothing, who was willing to be insulted, willing to be rejected, willing to be made a spectacle in front of everyone and call the Lord Jesus out that he was not going to be hid, that her heritage was against her. But guys, her heart was locked on her daughter being healed. And I'm here to tell you today, she called our Lord Jesus Christ in his own words. The Lord couldn't argue with her, and he grants this woman her petition. That woman's little girl was delivered. This woman was converted. And even though she wasn't a Jew, she was now a child of God. You know why? All because of a mother's love. That's how you catch the Lord. That's how his difference is made. That's how you bow and you conquer. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for the opportunity and time to be here. Lord, we thank you for this greatest example that we've ever seen in the Holy Scriptures of how our Lord and Savior never caught off guard and knew exactly where it was going, but was obligated to take care of this dear, precious woman. So, Father, I pray today that we too today, no matter where we may be, no matter if someone's listening online today and they're in a place physically, mentally, emotionally that's just weak, they're hurting, they're sick, whatever it may be, Father, I pray they would take a page out of this Syrophoenician woman's book. That they would simply bow their heart, accept their place underneath the master's table, look for the crumbs that may fall from the children's plate, but be willing to accept who and what Jesus Christ is, and therefore he is obligated to take them on board, to take care of them, to touch them, to bless them, to forgive them, to heal them. Lord, we pray today, this be our petition, that this woman's heart would be our heart. We take a mother's love, a greatest example that I can remotely find, and apply it into our hearts this morning. We ask these things in the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.